Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, for He has given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, for He has given Jesus Christ, God's Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Here's our responsibility. Give thanks. Come on, let's live in that. Give thanks. Oh, give thanks. Give thanks. Come on, let's stand all over the building and just give thanks. Give thanks. Everybody say, we're going to give thanks. Give thanks. Oh, give thanks. Give thanks. Lift up your voice and give thanks. He's been good this morning. Give thanks. Oh, lift your hands and give. Lift your voice and give thanks. Give God the glory and give thanks. If He woke you up this morning, give thanks. If He started you on your way, everybody ought to give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. Oh, we ought to give thanks. If the Lord keeps on making a way for you, if He keeps on opening doors for you, if He keeps on regulating your mind, lift your hands and give thanks, give thanks, yeah, give thanks. I woke up this morning to give thanks. I walked in the church to give thanks. You didn't have to do it, but you keep on blessing me. You keep on keeping me. I'ma give thanks. Father, we your children. We've come to first and foremost give thanks. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for starting us on our way. Thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. God, thank you for giving us the mind to walk into the house of prayer, to give you glory, honor, and praise. Now, God, we beg you to just keep on having your way. We need a word from you. For if we don't hear from you, we don't know what to do. And so, God, I've studied, but only you can make me prepared. I'm willing, oh God, but only you can make me able. Allow me to uphold your cross that men might see you. In your name we do pray and give thanks. Let every heart and believer say amen. Amen. If you're thankful this morning, give God praise. Wonderful Savior. To God our Father, Jesus our Savior, to the Holy Spirit who is our Comforter, the Paraclete who comes alongside to help and aid us in this thing we call life. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. We do certainly give honor and thanks to our esteemed and amazing pastor. Can we give God praise for the Reverend Dr. D.Z. Cofield? Amen. How we love and honor that great man of God. If you're watching, Pastor, we're saying hey. And we're saying we love you. Love to the pastor and to all of the preachers and our church family. So good to be in church on a Sunday morning. Imagine riding in the car, radio on, when you hear the exciting announcement that one of your favorite musical artists is coming to a city near you. Immediately, you make plans to be there, you secure your ticket, you rally your crew and prepare for an unforgettable night of live music, good energy, and fellow fans who have gathered together from near and far. In preparation for this blissful night, you book your appointment with your barber or your beautician. You stop by to see your nail tech. You take your car through the car wash. You pick out the flyest outfit that you can find. You've even put in for a half day at work, sending your coworkers an email with the subject line in big bold letters, PTO. And in your mind, that doesn't mean paid time off, but it means prepare the others. Because you've decided that nothing and no one is going to get in the way of your good time. In anticipation of the concert, you begin to blast your favorite songs. As you dance in the mirror, singing the lyrics to their songs word for word like you wrote them yourself. Then the big night arrives. You walk into a packed arena. It's wall to wall with fans just like you. Everybody's dressed down in merch. They're belting out lyrics and vibing out in unison. The band comes out in all white. The light hits. The crowd begins to roar. As the band begins to hit the first number and open with these words, "You make me happy." This you can bet. You stood right beside me, and I won't forget. I really love you. You should know. I want to make sure I'm right, girl, before I let go. Everybody loses it. Yeah, you felt that too, didn't you? Yeah. I understand. Everybody loses it. It's electric and you sing your heart out. And because this particular artist is Frankie Beverly and Maze, By the end of the night, you realize that 90% of the concert was you singing the hymn. The concert concludes. It was a fun experience, but you leave unchanged. You're just entertained. Because you're a fan and not a follower. You don't leave there and promote the band's mission. You don't make sacrifices to carry out their message. You're not out in the world evangelizing for Frankie Beverly and Maze. Because fans enjoy the moment, but followers live out the mission and adhere to the mandates. And oh, my brothers and sisters, that's how many of us treat Jesus. We sing, we shout, and we show up, but when the lights go down, and the moment passes, we go back to business as usual. We admire him, but we don't align with him. We applaud him, but we don't abide in him. We cheer him on from the crowd, but we don't carry our cross. We chase him with our desires, but we don't meet his demands. Child of God, I came by to tell somebody today that Jesus is not looking for fans in the stands, but he's looking for followers who are fully committed. And the question today is, when you look at your life, are you living your life as a fan of Jesus? Or are you living your life as a follower of Jesus? Whichever one is the case, both carry earthly and eternal consequences. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk from the subject, how to live your life as a follower and not a fan. How to live your life as a follower and not a fan. Our text today is found in Luke chapter number 9, verse number 23. Let's look at what it says. Luke chapter number 9 and verse 23 says, "And he said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." First thing I need to tell you, church, that if we're going to move from fans to followers, first thing we've got to do, you must make life adjustments for Jesus. You must make life adjustments for Jesus. Watch what Jesus says. He says, if you're going to come after me, you've got to deny yourself. Now, here in this passage of scripture, we are intentionally guided by the penmanship and lens of the gospel writer, historian, and physician Luke. Luke, within our selected scripture focus, begins to highlight and put on display the words of Jesus as Jesus begins to communicate, outline, and foretell the impending suffering, death, and resurrection that he will soon endure. The Bible lets us know that after Jesus briefly predicts his future, he turns his attention to his disciples and begins to share with them a few brief, bold, and potent prerequisites that paint the realistic portrait of what true followers and disciples look like. Listen to what Jesus says to them. He says, if anybody is going to come after me, they've got to first deny themselves. Jesus first starts off by saying that if any person is going to follow in his way and in his footsteps, that the first thing that they must do is have a desire to make the necessary shift and to move from fans to followers. Jesus, in so many words, is saying, if you're going to go deeper, get serious about your relationships and be my ride or die, you've got to have a desire that is eager, determined, willing, hungry, and thirsty to identify, unite, attach, and connect with me. And when you do this, it has to be as a devout follower and not a distant fan. Jesus lets us know that when we answer the call to discipleship, that we answer the call with a desire, but we measure the call with how we meet his demands. We answer the call with a desire, but we measure the call of discipleship with how we meet his demands. What are you saying? What I'm saying to you, church, is if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to make some life adjustments. Realizing that as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can't have allegiance to him if you're not willing to make adjustments for him. Because when you are really a follower of Jesus, you understand that your allegiance requires you to submit yourself to a holy metamorphosis. Then that's when you are being changed and transformed and shaped by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the saints of old understood this all too well, because when they spoke about their change and their walk for Jesus Christ, they would say things like, "The places I used to go, I don't go anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do anymore. And the things that I used to say," they never changed this. They said, "I don't say as much. There's been a change in my life." And oh, child of God, I can hear even them now singing in my ear the words of our sainted sister Olivia Branch Walker as they sung, "I moved from my old house, and I moved from my old friends, and I moved from my old way of strife. Thank God I moved out to a brand new life." Then they said, "He changed my old wayward words. He changed my old leveled mind. He changed my heart and gave me a brand new start. Thank God I moved out to a brand new life." And church, if we're going to get serious about our spiritual walk and maturity, we've got to make some decisions to make some adjustments so that we can meet his demands. Which is why Jesus says that if you're going to be my authentic and genuine follower, you've got to make some requirements, meet some requirements and make some adjustments. And the challenge with the modern day church is that we want the benefits and the blessings and the rewards of being a follower of Jesus, but without adhering to the requirements of being a follower of Jesus. And I hear you out there saying, "Well, Pastor Cam, if I got to make some adjustments, if I got to make some changes, if I'm required to do something, what changes must I make?" I'm glad you asked, church, because Jesus says that his followers are those who make the decision to deny themselves. His followers are those who say no to sin, disown their self and their selfishness for once and for all. Those who follow Jesus are those who are committed to giving up their pride in self, their dependence on self, their confidence in self. Realizing that real disciples can't be self-centered, because we're always called to be Christ-centered. And oh, child of God, if you're not careful, in the world in which we live, the world will cause us to chart a path that follows in the way of society, social media, and societal influencers, causing us to think that the key to a faithful and fruitful life is to be so stubborn, self-willed, and self-seeking that the only focus you have in life is I, me, my, and mine. But Jesus says, if you're going to follow after me, you've got to deny yourself. And that's what what denying yourself for the sake of Christ, it means that you've got to make some necessary adjustments. That means you got to renew your mind. so you can think like him. You've got to turn your heart so you can love like him. You've got to forfeit your agenda so you can be in alignment with him. You've got to release your plans for your life in exchange for his purpose and his will for your life. Denying yourself means gladly obeying his commandments, serving one another, suffering for his sake, and following him no matter how severe the consequences. When you deny yourself, it means that you're making a decision to put a stop to building your kingdom, to build his. Let me say it like this. When you start denying yourself, it means you put a stop to building your earthly sandcastle and start building his kingdom. Whenever you're living for your own glory, for your own advancement, in your own power, in your own might, all you're doing is building a sandcastle. But the reality about sandcastles is, just as quick as they go up, is as quick as they come down. And the reason why many of us cannot build the kingdom is because we're building our own kingdoms, even in our lives. Jesus says, you got to deny yourself. Peter, I like it because when this verbiage says deny yourself, it is the exact same verb and verbiage in the scriptures that is used when Peter denied Jesus. And Jesus is saying, the scriptures are saying that you got to deny yourself like Peter denied Jesus. What does that mean? That means you've got to disown selfishness. See, y'all don't like this type of preaching, but I love it. You got to disown your selfishness. You've got to reject your inward focus. And you've got to pull down idolatry of your self-centeredness. Because no man can serve God without holiness and without self-denial. No man can be holy. You've got to make some adjustments. Several sermons ago, I told you that I had started my fitness journey and I began to work on this temple so that I could lose these parentheses around my weight, my waist. And so in an effort to get where I was trying to go, I started working out, started eating right, and making the necessary adjustments. Because I wanted to get where, and this suit is actually bigger than what I am, I understand that. But praise the Lord. Just and after I started seeing some results, I gotta confess, I backslid. I started doing all of the same stuff that gave me my big back in the first place. And after some time had passed, I decided that I'd do right and hire my trainer who's here this morning, whose name is Collins. And Collins is a brother of mine. But sometimes in this workout journey, Collins gets on my last nerve. Because Collins is always in my ear, in my head, in the grocery store with me, reminding me what I can and cannot do and what I can and cannot eat. I'm a whole child all over again. But no matter how upset I get with Collins, he always reminds me that if I'm going to get the reward and the results of a renewed body, I've got to realign myself and make some adjustments. And so now I have to adjust my schedule. I've got to adjust my eating habits. I've got to deny myself so I can receive the reward of what I'm looking for. And some of y'all still think I'm talking about me, my parentheses, and Collins, but I'm really talking about you and your journey with Jesus. And he's saying, if you're going to get to where he wants you to be, you've got to deny yourself and make some adjustments. Second thing I got to tell you is that you must commit daily. You must daily commit your life to Jesus. Watch as Jesus continues to outline the measure and test of what true disciples and followers look like. He tells his disciples that the second mark of a resolute, intentional, and committed follower is a person who has a daily pursuit to take up their cross. Jesus says, if you're going to stop being a fan and start being a follower, you've got to be a cross carrier. Church, that's significant because crosses today have been reduced and widely viewed as a piece of jewelry or decoration within our homes and our churches. But in that day and time, if a person was carrying a cross, it meant that they were condemned and a convicted criminal who was considered a dead man walking. Because they had a one-way journey, and that journey was leading them to their death. This person had become a public spectacle, and their journey that they endured towards that place of death, they endured criticism and judgment. And for the early disciples, what that meant was they were going to have to endure the same physical death and physical suffering for the cause of Christ. And even though it's not widely practiced today, there are some places where there is still this reality, where people are still giving up their lives, literally, for the sake of Christ. But what this means for you and I today is that when we follow after Christ, we daily commit ourselves to Christ. We commit to carrying our cross, and we don't carry it out of condemnation. We carry our cross out of conviction. And what the criminal did under duress, we do because of devotion. Because when Jesus says, take up your cross daily, what he's saying to every single disciple is that I want you to live a life that is crucified. I want you to start living a crucified life, a life that's fully committed, daily crucifying the life that you once had and the person that you once were before you met Jesus. When you carry your cross, you're saying to Jesus, the world and yourself, I belong to Jesus. And more importantly, I am committed to Jesus. When you carry your cross, it means that you are a dead man or a dead woman walking, because you've died to the world. You've separated yourself from its values. You've escaped from its lifestyle, and now you are accountable to the world, accountable to God, and you are moving away from the world. And the challenge with Christians today, church, is we fail to realize you can't fully commit to God if you're always compromising to the world. That's what we call counterfeit Christians. When you're a counterfeit Christian, your faith looks good on the outside, but it lacks a complete surrender on the outside, inside. When you are a counterfeit Christian, you're easily conformed, and you start looking and acting like the people you were called to minister to. When you are a counterfeit Christian, you don't endure as a good soldier. As soon as somebody gets on your nerves, you quit your position and say, God told you your season was up. Counterfeit Christians serve God on a part-time basis. They're part-time because in church and around certain people, they look the part. They sound the part. They put on a good facade. But let me help somebody today and tell you that just because you are churchy don't mean you Christ-like. Jesus says, take up your cross. Because the cross isn't just what you carry, it's where you die. And here's the question, church. What needs to die in you so Christ can live through you? The call to discipleship means you walk differently. You walk in integrity, you walk in purity, in faithfulness, and humble service. And if we're comfortable with the world, no one will ever know that we're different from the world. And that means we failed the test and the master. True commitment to God means dying to your ego, your own sin, and your need for control. Yes, you will be criticized. Yes, you will be judged. Yes, you will be misunderstood. But if when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior is come, be not dismayed when men don't believe you. He'll understand and he'll say, well done. Oh, church, if you try and fail in your trying, with hands sore, scarred from the work you've begun, take up your cross, run quickly to meet him. He'll understand and he'll say, well done. I'm done with this, but take up your cross, realizing that Jesus does not call his followers to do anything that he has not done for them. And if Jesus can die for us, the least we can do is live for him. Might I add, he says, you got to do this daily. It is a daily assignment. It's a daily activities. And somebody here, I know you're saying that Pastor Cam, I don't know how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to make it happen. Well, you've got to say to yourself, for God I live and for God I will die. The billows may roll, the breakers may dash, but I shall not sway because he holds me fast. My soul is being anchored in the Lord. Last thing, you must trust and obey the leadership of Jesus. Jesus concludes this verse by giving the final distinction that separates those who are fans and followers. Jesus says that real disciples and followers are those who are committed to allowing him to lead and obeying his every command, actively and attentively following after his example. Which is to say, church, it not only matters that we follow him, but it matters how we follow him. It's important that we follow him in trust and obedience, because a life that follows after Jesus has nothing to lose but everything to gain. I'm done now, but when Jesus says, follow me, it's the truest pattern of real discipleship, because real disciples are never stagnant, because they understand that God is always calling and challenging them to go deeper in their walk. Following Jesus means trusting him with your finances, your ambitions, your desires, your entertainment, and even your relationships. And yes, church, following Jesus will not be an easy road to travel, because the road to heaven always feels like hell. But that's how you know you're on the right road, because the road to hell feels like heaven. I'm gonna say it to you again. The road to hell feels like heaven, and the road to heaven feels like hell. That's why you got to go where he leads, because when he leads you, he's transforming you. And I know somebody's out there saying, well, I'm on my way. Let me get some things in order. I'm going to fix myself, because I don't want to play with him like that. And Jesus is saying, that's my job to fix you. That's my job to heal you. That's my job to turn you. Just come unto me. You can't follow, child of God, and please don't miss me when I say this, you can't follow after your flesh, because your flesh knows something that you don't. Your flesh knows that when it's all said and over, it's not going to heaven. Your soul is. We're going to take off this corruptible body and put on our incorruptible body. Listen, if you let your flesh lead you, you are leading yourself to a place of destruction, because when it's all said and done and we roll you down now, your body ain't going to heaven, your mind ain't going to heaven, your soul is going to heaven. Don't let your flesh lead you to hell. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. I felt that in my spirit. And that's why I heard Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15 and 31. Paul said, I die daily. And oh, brothers and sisters, when you seek to be a follower of Jesus, you've got to trust and obey. Yes, because there is no other way. To be happy in Jesus means to trust and obey. And here's my testimony, because I've been following Jesus a while now, and my testimony is tears so sweet to trust in Jesus just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promised, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, how I trust him, Jesus, how I've proved him over and over, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And I've got a confession that I need to share. I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, I was wounded, and I was sad. But after I started following him, I found in him a resting place, and Jesus has made me glad. I hear my grandmama sing, he's made me glad, he's made me glad, and I'm rejoicing because he's made me glad. And so today, as I take my seat, I declare I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. And some of you came to church today and act like you act every day because you a fan. But there's some of us here today who made a decision. I'm not a fan. Don't put me in that group. Don't put me in that section. I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. I'm a follower. And because I'm a follower, he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry, tarry there. Nobody, nobody has ever known. And if that's your testimony, help me lift up Jesus. Fans, stay where you are. But this portion is for the followers. Followers, help me lift up Jesus. Followers, help me lift up Jesus. Because I'm not a fan. Fans are distant and disconnected. I'm not a fan. Fans want miracles, but don't want the master. I'm not a fan. Fans want grace, but don't want God. I'm not a fan, because fans are in the stands and on the sideline. I'm not a fan, because fans are fascinated, but followers follow his footsteps. I'm not a fan, because fans are in the crowd, but followers carry their cross. I'm not a fan, because fans know about Jesus, but followers are known about Jesus. I'm not a fan, because fans show up on Sunday, but followers show up every day. I'm not a fan, because fans listen to the word, but followers obey the word. I'm not a fan, because fans follow when it's easy, but followers follow when it's costly. I'm not a fan. Fans come for the moment, but followers come for a lifetime. Fans sit in comfort, but followers step in calling. Fans want inspiration, but followers seek transformation. Is there anybody in the building who can say, I'm yours, Lord? I'm yours. Everything that I got, everything that I'm not, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. So let's encourage somebody and tell them, come along, my friends. Come along and get aboard this train. There's nothing on this train to lose, but everything, everything, everything to gain. Where my followers at? Where the fans at? Both of us need to commit to do it differently. If you're not a fan, share. Stand up, grab back your head and say, I'm not a fan. Come on, let me hear you say, I'm not a fan. Say, I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. I'm a follower. I'm a, yeah, yeah. I ain't no fan. Did you hear what I said? I ain't no fan. I'm a follower. Somebody needs to understand. Let's stand together. But somebody needs to understand. There's a clear difference when you like Jesus, when you love Jesus, and when you're being led by Jesus. There's so many of us who have become counterfeit followers and traded in our following badge for a fan. God has some requirements of all of us. You just can't say, I pray in the morning and think that's going to be all right with God. You give your job more time you give him. You give your boo more time than you give them, him. A lot of us have become counterfeit. Some of us just playing out, playing and pretending. And God is saying, if you're going to follow me, you got to get for real. Get serious. I'll put it off to tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. You mess around and go to sleep tonight and not wake up and then... You're in the fan group. Fans don't make it to heaven. Followers do. Look at somebody and say, quit playing today. Just look at somebody and say, quit playing, quit playing.